Strange
things. Everybody's smoking, and no one's getting high. Everybody's flying, and never touch the sky. There's UFOs over New York, and I ain't too surprised.
For the first time in our history, we're studying something that's studying us.
Nobody told me there'd be days like these. Nobody told me there'd be days like these. Nobody told me there'd be days like these. Strange days indeed. Most peculiar, mama. Roll.
Yes, 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 yes,
good evening. My name is Errol Bruce Knapp, moderator of UFO Updates, an email list on the internet. Welcome listeners here in Toronto and around the world via Real Audio on the World Wide Web and on 6070 kilohertz in the 49 meter band shortwave to Strange Days Indeed. A numerically special night tonight. This is the 100th edition of the program about the increasingly intriguing phenomena of UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Tonight on the program, the mother spots a hovering UFO over the Magdalen Islands. Black helicopters and UFOs seen just west of San Jose, and I know the way there. An astronaut Cooper claims U.S. government withholds UFO data. And Richard Gere is to star in The Mothman Prophecies, the movie about the book. We'll have those and other stories tonight, along with weekly columnist Dave Furlott and the UFO Research Cincinnati's Kenny Young with a remarkable UFO case and audio tapes to play for us. And interesting guest after 9:30 this evening. We'll tell you more about that later. And, of course, at 10:30, I'm still on Sunday night time. and, of course, you, as usual, the listener on the phone, should you care to join us at 416-872-1010 or 1-800-561-CFRB or Star Talk, all adding to Program 100 and These Strange Days Indeed here on News Talk Radio, CFRB 1010. These strange days, indeed. These are indeed strange days, indeed. That's the name of the program. My name is Errol Bruce Knapp, and joining us on the program tonight, our regular weekly columnist, Dave Furlott, UFO Research Cincinnati's Kenny Young with a remarkable UFO case and audio tapes to play for us. And you can get involved at any time simply by calling us here at CFRB. The numbers are 416-872-1010. Throw in that area code for those of you listening out there on the web. That's 416-872-1010. 1-800-561-CFRB if you're calling long distance from Ontario, or Star Talk if you're out there mobile. And so we slide into the time when we take a look at this week's UFO news and updates. On Thursday, September 14th at around 4:10 a.m., Mrs. Flowery B, that's letter B period, was asleep in her home on the Magdalen Islands in the Gulf of St. Lawrence off Quebec when she heard her young daughter's voice. Her daughter woke up and asked for juice, so Flory went downstairs to get her some. Looking out of the window, she watched what she thought was an overlarge star. I heard this one so many times. It was bright yellow, like a star, but much longer. It was elongated, and she was about to turn away when she saw red and blue lights start to pulse, and all of a sudden she was filled with fear and didn't know why. She described the object as shaped like a backward check mark. A backward check mark. The back end had flashing red and blue lights, and the base had a very bright yellow light on it. And she wasn't sure about the height or altitude it was at, but said it wasn't up very high, and its speed was unbelievably fast. It seemed to be pretty still, and when it went into a hover, which lasted for about 10 minutes. There was a light around it and a bright light on the ground beneath the object, as if there was something glowing beneath it. Florrie then went upstairs to take her daughter the juice, but when she returned to a window, the object was gone. And thanks to Joe Trainer of UFO Roundup and the Sci-Fi Wire, which is a new service of the Sci-Fi Channel in the United States, for this story. Two black helicopters and six daylight disc UFOs were sighted just west of San Jose, California on Friday, September the 15th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Eyewitness James W. was having lunch at a fast food outlet and afterward decided to take his dog to play in an area in Sunnyvale, in a play area. He was there for about 45 minutes. He said it was a clear sky with sunshine and no clouds. And while sitting on a bench, James saw a large military gunship-type helicopter flying overhead, and about 8 minutes later, he saw what he thought was the same chopper or another just like it. He said they flew right toward him. He then decided to leave and went to a friend's industrial shop in nearby Santa Clara to see if the delivery truck he'd been expecting had returned from a pickup. It wasn't there, so he drove over to San Jose International Airport to kill some time. And he was watching the commercial jets take off from the west side of the airport, which a lot of us like to do when we have some spare time. And that's when he saw three UFOs in formation and three more UFOs moving together a few thousand feet below them. He said that they were too far away to see them clearly, but they looked white and they were all of the same size. And they were between the airport and downtown San Jose. And they were pretty much above the flight paths of jets, which is about 16 to 20,000 feet or 4,500 to 6,000 meters, and too far away to cause the passenger planes any problems. He said the bottom row of objects was about 4,000 feet beneath the top row. And they split very quickly to the northwest, and they were, as he said, too far away for him to make out any sort of detail. Air Force Colonel Leroy Gordon Gordo Cooper, some of you may remember, was one of the original Mercury astronauts who sat atop an Atlas missile and flew into space back in 1963. And he claims that the United States government has withheld information that alien spacecraft have visited Earth. Cooper claims that the U.S. government has swept under the rug, to quote him, swept under the rug the truth about unidentified flying objects. Each administration has probably tried to figure out how, with the least embarrassment, that they could confess to the whole thing, he said. His new book, Leap of Faith, An Astronaut's Journey into the Unknown, reveals new information about his own encounters with UFOs. Cooper says that the U.S. government needs to clean the slate about what has been going on or has not been going on. And that quickie from George Filer's Filer's Files, which is, for those of you who are unaware, an email newsletter, a UFO newsletter, which gets sent out every week to its subscribers. And Richard Gere will star in The Mothman Prophecies, a science fiction movie. It says here, a science fiction movie to be directed by Mark Pellington, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The project is slated to begin production this coming January. It says here, Mothman tells the story of a newspaper reporter, Richard Gere, who leaves his job after his wife dies to find out about a series of strange events in a small town. He discovers that the events might point to an alien visitation. The movie's based, as probably many of you will have realized by now, on John Keel's account of his investigation of UFO reports around Point Pleasant in West Virginia during the late 1960s. Richard Hatem wrote the original screenplay, and Becky Johnson wrote the most current draft. A regular columnist, Dave Furlott, is with us tonight. He's an author, ufological observer, and teacher. Dave Furlott, are you out there in Markham Land?
I certainly am, Errol.
Good evening, Dave, and welcome back to the program.
Good evening, and it's a wonder to be back here at 100.
Pretty remarkable. It's really only a number, and you'd think by, you know, the 100th program, I would have the times of this program. So what's your take on it tonight, Dave?
Well, you know, we can't prove what it was, but we can prove what it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I watched an interesting show the other day. It involved recreating a crime scene that happened back in the 60s. Now, the reason they recreated the scene was to determine if they had truly found the right guy guilty back so many years ago. But the whole thing got me thinking. Got me thinking that it'd be possible for us to recreate another scene. And in doing so, we'd be able to determine once and for all some answers to what took place back in July of 47, northwest of Roswell, New Mexico. Now, what we need here is just a little bit of financing and the ability to bring in some independent and unbiased forensic investigators to determine once and for all if a mogul balloon could possibly be confused as a crashed flying saucer.
Oh, nice idea.
Now, what I propose is that we create a series of mogul balloons that are 100% accurate to what was developed back in 1947, and then we crash them in various ways down in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. In other words, we recreate the exact same thing that the U.S. Air Force said was responsible for causing all that confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't something that I've just thought up and done nothing about. I've taken the time to email a message to NIDS, National Institute for Discovery Science. Now, I've done this with the idea because I feel that they have enough money to be able to finance such an undertaking, and they can bring the right people together to be able to determine if this mogul balloon story is bona fide or if maybe it's just the U.S. Air Force pulling at straws to cover up something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm also sad to say that NIDS has not yet replied to my email. And that's unfortunate because I believe that this is a bona fide concept. On a personal note, you know, I'm willing to volunteer to get involved with this concept, and I'd love to head it up. But I also think that this kind of thing could sell. If it were properly produced and made into a television documentary, I think we'd have a pretty large audience that would be willing to look in and make their own judgment about whether or not a mogul balloon could have done it. Now, what I say again, there's no way that we can prove exactly what crashed in the deserts of New Mexico in 1947 was a flying saucer. But we can surely prove to ourselves if it was or was not a crashed mogul balloon. But that's just my take on it.
Interesting idea, Dave.
Yeah, well, it's along the lines of forensic investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been doing it, you know, for years with all kinds of things.
Yeah. Recreations of crime scenes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of the same type of situation, because this, to be bona fide, this is a crime scene of the biggest magnitude. Mm-hmm. It's a crime that they're trying to get us to believe all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you sent email off, earlier this week to NIDS?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Much earlier this week. I sent it off to NIDS, and basically I outlined the concept and said, you know, please get back to me. Let me know what you think.
For those of you who don't listen to this program regularly, the National Institute for Discovery Science is an organization out of Las Vegas, funded by a Las Vegas multimillionaire, Robert Bigelow. And actually does have several scientists involved with the organization. We don't know much about what they do, but they apparently gather together all kinds of case records, including abductee files, which there has been a huge fuss of late out there on the internet. But it would be very, I wonder if they'll pick up on it, Dave, or they'll just think you're another loon.
Well, I'm hoping that they will. I mean, I did sort of provide a little bit of credentials to my background in saying this. So hopefully they will pick up on it and do something with it. Because I think, you know, that's what we need. We need to be able to look at something like that and say, yeah, okay, fine. I can believe that so-and-so could get confused by something or like that. Or look at it and go, okay, guys, you know, just whose foot are we pulling here?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that, and not only there, but I mean, there's a number of different areas that we could look at that if we take the time, and we're not talking a big budget here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't going to cost millions and millions of dollars to put together, but it's going to cost a few bucks to put it together properly. And that's the key, is putting it together properly, and as well, bringing in somebody from the outside who is neither a, you know, true believer or a skeptic,
mm-hmm.
but somebody who's straight and narrow in terms of forensic science, being able to look at it and go, okay, fine, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense, because that's what they did with the other program. They brought in a few people that were, unbiased completely, mm-hmm. and had them give their conclusions and their testament.
Of course, this will make a great documentary, too.
Oh, exactly. I mean, just taking it right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we put the cameras in there right off the bat, and we say, okay, guys, here's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how we went through this process. Here's the research that we had to go through in order to find out what this thing looked like. And here's the number of different ways that we crashed them. Blow up the things, let them fall down, crash them down as hard as we can, freeze them before we blow them up, do all kinds of different things to them.
Right.
And take a look at all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, well, if it could have been or if it couldn't have been.
Yep. That's a documentary I'd like to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You and me both. I mean, I'd be glued to the set to watch something like that.
And I completely forgot talking about documentaries. It was a whole bunch of UFO documentaries on TLC tonight.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. yes. You did forget that, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It's just been one of those hectic times, And let's see, do we have enough time to get into this story? Yeah, let's try this. Did you read this story on UFO Updates, the email list about the Virgin Mary appearing at a monastery in Egypt?
Now, to be honest with you, I must admit that one I did not catch.
Now, interesting story. Since August 1st, thousands of pilgrims, Christians and Muslims alike, have gone to a monastery near Asluht, which is 360 miles south of Cairo, to see the nightly apparitions of what they describe as the Virgin Mary.
Hmm.
Hmm. Apparently, Mary or Miriam is also venerated by Muslims as a prophetess and is mentioned often in the Quran. And the apparition constitutes a message of peace and hope following the upheavals throughout the region in recent years. The Virgin has managed to bring everyone together in a single heart, said Father Jacob Suleiman of the Asluht Bishopric in Upper Egypt. Very interesting, this. The apparitions began on August 1st, the start of an annual festival in Upper Egypt honoring the Holy Family. And you may be asking yourselves, what does this have to do with UFOs? Well, there are many UFO researchers who believe that what people perceive to be apparitions, such as this report and the apparitions at Fatima in Portugal in the early 20th century, were actually UFOs. The thought being that depending on your background and upbringing, what is seen in religious apparition cases is what the witness's mind, brain expects to see. And we'll try and update that story as time goes by. On the line with us is Dave Furlott, the first on our blog to have published an e-book, Contract for Deceit, which, if you so desire, you can go and take a look at it. Triple Dub Van Gogh, G-O-A-C-H. Books, VanGoghBooks.com. Dave, I understand that you've become a bestseller with your ebook.
I did, as a matter of fact. I found that out just today.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and good luck with the next one. That's going to be of great interest.
I'm going to have fun with it. I'm having fun with it as I write it.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
UFO novel, huh?
To a certain degree, yes. Mm-hmm. Most definitely takes an interesting look at Roswell.
Ah. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but among the most peculiar, Dave, and rare of phenomena associated with UFO sightings is a substance called angel hair.
Yes, it seems that we've had some situations of that in the past.
Yeah, we have, actually. And I was looking at the Bible that I always carry in my bag when I come into the station to do the program, just in case anybody asks a question that I'm not immediately able to respond to at 416-872-1010 or Star Talk or 1-800-561-CFRB. And the UFO book, which is the Encyclopedia of the Extraterrestrial, written by our buddy Jerome Clark. And there's not a lot on angel hair in here.
No, it seems that the substance itself is not only associated with UFOs, it seems to have also sometimes appeared with no thought being given to the fact
well,
that maybe
exactly.
a UFO was involved
yeah.
in it.
For example, on October 17th in 52, the residents of Oloron saw a large cigar-shaped structure in the blue early afternoon sky. A whole bunch of people from a family saw it there. The family of Jean-Yves Pigeon, who was the general superintendent of a local high school. And he reported that in the north, a cottony cloud of strange shape was floating against the blue sky. Above it, a narrow cylinder, apparently inclined at a 45-degree angle, was slowly moving in a straight line toward the southwest. The object was whitish, non-luminous, and very distinctly defined. A sort of plume of white smoke was escaping from its upper end, and at some distance in front of the cylinder, about 30 other objects were following the same trajectory. The objects he described as saucers, which were moving in pairs, following a broken path characterized in general by rapid, short zigzags. And when two saucers drew away from one another, a whitish streak like an electric arc was produced between them. All of these objects left behind an abundant trail, which slowly fell to the ground as if dispersed, and for several hours, clumps of it hung in the trees, on the telephone wires, and on the roofs of houses. And according to press accounts, a dentist named Balestra, who had also observed the objects and the fall of the stuff, got caught in the material, was unable to free himself until he cut it.
Ooh.
At which point, the threads regathered themselves and rose into the air. And if this really happened, it's the only known instance of ostensibly intelligent behavior on the part of angel's hair. Now, when witnesses picked the material up and rolled it into a ball, it turned into a jelly-like material and vanished, which is another frequently, though not universally reported, characteristic. Jerry Clark cites in this book several instances of angel hair. One case was Craig Phillips, who would later become the director of the United States National Aquarium, and he saw a fall of angel hair, but no accompanying UFO, off the Florida coast in the summer of 57. He and two other scientists were collecting specimens for the Miami Seaquarium, of which at the time he was the creator. When over a two-hour period, as they sailed northward toward the Florida Keys, they observed occasional strands of what appeared to be very fine cobwebs, up to 2 or more feet in length, drifting down from the sky, and occasionally catching in the rigging of their craft. Phillips explained to his companions that very young spiders on hatching will frequently pay out long strands of silk from their spinnerets until the wind catches them and they eventually become airborne. Yet as the three began collecting the material, they were puzzled by the absence of spiders. So with the intention of examining the strands when they reached the Seaquarium, Phillips carefully placed several of them in a mason jar, allowing them to cling to the inside of the glass before he capped it. Under high power, he'd hoped to see the tiny adhesive droplets that adorn most, but not all, spider webs. And were those present, there would have been little doubt of their true nature. However, when he uncapped the jar later in his office, guess what?
They weren't there.
They weren't there. No trace of the material could be found. And he says the phenomenon to him is still inexplicable, and he's seen nothing comparable to it before or since.
Well, that certainly puts aside the idea or the concept that it could have been a spider's web. Let's face facts. Spider's webs don't just disappear.
Now, apparently good data on angel hair, Jerry continues in his entry under angel hair in the UFO book, the Encyclopedia of Extraterrestrial. Good book, pick it up. It's a wonderful history of what's been going on in ufology over the years. He says, good data on angel hair samples are as rare as angel hair reports. And until we know more, the nature of the phenomenon will remain a mystery.
Well, certainly is a situation that we haven't had a lot of reports about it.
No, but there,
we
was,
have had one now.
Yeah, there was one this week. And actually, Kelly McGillis posted to the UFO updates list the address of a website put up by Rusty out there in, is it in Virginia, Rusty?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. And joining us from her home in West Virginia is a woman who has a very interesting story to tell us. Tell us what happened with this, Rusty.
Well, on Wednesday evening, about 7 o'clock, I heard this strange droning sound. That's the only way I can describe it. Like an airplane, real close.
This is last Wednesday night.
Yeah, the 19th, or the 20th, rather, I'm sorry. So I went outside. It had just started to get dark. It was around 7 o'clock. I could not see an airplane. So I came back in, and I kept hearing this noise for this sound for almost an hour. My dog decided she had to go out. So I went outside with her. And when she came back in, she immediately got sick and threw up, which is strange. She never does that. About a half hour later, I had a severe sinus attack. And I had been out twice, once with the dog and once to go see if there was something in the sky.
Do you normally get sinus attacks?
Sometimes, but I take medicine to keep it away.
Okay.
So this was a very, very strange one because it was quite severe. In the morning, at 9 o'clock, I get up, and the whole southwest part of my yard is covered with this white stuff that looks like spider webs, but it didn't look like spider webs, you know? Mm-hmm. It looked like it come from the sky and just landed on the bushes and the grass and stuff.
How large an area are we talking about, Rosie?
How long is the yard?
Yeah, like roughly width and length type thing.
Oh, well, I have a piece of ground that's 2 acres, and I'd say half of that is my yard, and the other half is a hill. It's a very steep hill with trees that goes down to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say half an acre. And so I immediately went in and got my camera and started taking some pictures. And I wish they had come out a little bit better on some of them, but I was afraid to get too close to this stuff because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I must say, I've taken a look at your pictures. They came out quite well, what I saw.
Yeah, not bad at all.
And so the couple of close-ups that I took, I'm glad they turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent my husband to town to get some rubber gloves to take a sample of it.
Right.
Because I have been here 6 years and never seen anything like this. If it was normal insects or whatever, I would have seen it before. So when he came back with the rubber gloves, we were going to bag it up into plastic bags. When he touched it, it turned to a gooey-like stuff, clear, but it was like slime, something like you would see when you cut okra.
Okay.
If you've ever had the experience of eating okra, and it's that slimy stuff.
Yeah.
And it's clear. Well, that's what this stuff turned into.
Mm.
So he got a paper towel, and he scooped it up in the rubber gloves and put it on the paper towel, and we put it in plastic bags. On the way to town, which is 7 miles from my house to the nearest town, which is Romney, he did not see anything like what was in my yard. There were a few patches, little small patches, like one of the close-ups, on the hill next to the road right near my house, like right off of my driveway. But the whole 7 miles into town, there was nothing.
These clumps of white stuff are hanging off everything, off the trees, in the grass, in the bushes. They're everywhere, And what I want to do for those people who are out there on the web and listening to us, if you want to go to www.homestead.com/rusties, R-U-S-T-Y-S underscore, that's the lower dash, retreat, Rusty's Retreat, /spiderstuff .html. And once again, www.homestead.com/rusties_retreat/spiderstuff.html. Some people are saying, oh yeah, that's definitely angel hair. Others are not. What other kind of reactions have you gotten?
I've had over 600 emails on this. Almost 50% claim that it's UFO related. Another, say, 30% claim that it's contrail related, you know, the Project Cloverleaf.
Yeah, the supposed spraying by somebody or other flying large civilian-like cargo planes spraying stuff out of the back end of them,
And then the rest of the group is usually a one-liner email says mold. But the funniest one I've gotten yet is that it's Venus being reflected off of swamp gas.
Say what?
And I had to do a double take on that one.
That sounds like a Phil Klass line.
So I've had varied reaction from. However, the wonderful thing is, a woman who lives 15 miles from me telephoned me and said that her and her son saw a UFO, cigar-shaped UFO, at 7:42 that very same night. And that time frame is correct because it was in between between 7 and 7:30 that I started hearing this droning sound.
How long did she watch this for, did she say?
She said that she wanted to take a picture, but she didn't have a camera. And they watched it go towards the west. Now, it just so happens that the part of my yard that was the heaviest was kind of like the southwest.
Interesting, because I think you heard the description of that French angel hair case back in the early 50s. That was an oblong-shaped or a cylinder-shaped
object. Right. I did hear of that one. Someone emailed me that one.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking with Rusty, who lives in West Virginia, about angel hair, an angel hair occurrence on her property down there in West Virginia. Angel hair is white, usually clumpy stuff. Kind of looks like cotton in the photographs on the website.
Yeah, but it's finer than cotton.
And very spider web-like. And when you touch it with your hand or you try and put it in a bottle, it usually
just disintegrates, disappears,
turns into a white jelly or clear jelly-like substance, runny jelly. Did you manage actually to put some away so that somebody could take a look at it?
Yes, but I did do it the wrong way, and I'll be honest with you. I had no idea of what to do with it, but I sent my husband to get the gloves, and since he picked it up with his hand and it turned to nothing, this goo, and so we put it on a paper towel and put the gloves in a plastic bag, cut the sample in half. I put one glove and half of the paper towel in one, and the other glove and the other paper towel in the other one. Mm-hmm. I sent it to two different labs. One from the West Coast and one from the East Coast. Now, they also told me that usually they cannot get a good analysis of this stuff because it usually disappears before they can get it. But I was told of a good sampling protocol, if this ever happens to anyone, to collect this stuff, use, if possible, glass jars with tight-fitting lids, like a baby food jar.
Mm-hmm.
Then using small twigs or leaves from the sampling site, scoop up as much material from one area as possible, then place it inside the glass jar and seal it immediately, and then repeat with other glass jars. Even up to 10 samples would be better. I wish I had known this before,
well,
but I didn't.
Yeah.
It was after the fact.
Yeah, 2020 hindsight.
Yeah.
Although Craig Phillips, who went on to become the director of the National Aquarium down there in the Florida Keys, said that he had put some of this stuff into a jar, hoping to get a look at it under the microscope, in a glass jar, sealed it down, and when he got back to his office, to his lab, there was nothing there.
Yes, but I was told this by the laboratory people. If you put it in there and it looks like it's not there anymore,
mm-hmm.
the gas is still there, but they can do a gas test on it. So it's important that you put it in there, seal it up, and don't open the lid again. Note, you know, the weather conditions. In fact, my conditions were, it was 50 degrees that night and like 73 degrees during the day. The noises you hear, the smells you noted, anything relating to the incident.
Was there any smell from it?
I did not smell anything. But if anybody sees this stuff again, be sure you use a glass jar and get several, as many as possible, samples.
Rusty, let me quickly give out your webpage. It's rusty_retreat/spiderstuff.html. Rusty has 11, I think it is, good pictures up there of this angel hair stuff.
You know, this stuff must be very popular because I have had 10,000 540 visitors to that page since Wednesday afternoon about 5 o'clock.
Well, once Kelly McGillis posted it to my email list, UFO Updates, and that went out, and then suddenly, because I subscribed to half a dozen other email lists, and it was just within an hour, it was popping up on those lists and coming back.
I belong to about 70 myself.
Have you belonged to those for a while, Rusty?
Oh, ever since I've been on the net, yes.
You are a very busy woman. You sound as if you've got almost as much spare time as I do.
There is no, I wish there were 24 more hours
that's
in the day
the way,
to
I was,
stuff finished.
That's what I was trying to allude to. Rusty, thank you very much indeed for your time.
You're welcome.
I hope the labs find something.
Oh, I do, too. You know, you had a radar ring over you today.
A radar ring? What?
A radar ring, yes, indeed.
Over Toronto?
Uh-huh. Over New York and Toronto. It was huge.
Really?
Yes, it'll be posted on my site as soon as I do the update this evening.
Okay, then...
That'll be on Rusty Storm.
Rusty's Storm, and that also
from my main webpage that you gave out, they can
they can
go to the index page.
Mm-hmm.
They can get to all my other sites.
Okay. www.homestead.com/Rusty's_retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty, good night. Thank you.
And thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming by. Good night.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Dave, thank you, sir.
Oh, not a problem at all.
And we'll touch base with you again next week.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Dave.
Good night.
Good night, Dave.
Good night, Rusty.
Good night, everybody in Radio Land.
Our guest for the remainder of this, the 100th edition of Strange Days Indeed, is employed as an info channel coordinator for the Telecommunications Board of Northern Kentucky, where his job duties include scheduling, graphic design, and audio-video production. He's a professional website designer and coordinator, webmaster for candidate John Stevenson's 2000 campaign for Kentucky State Senate's 11th District. He's the webmaster of a really fine, fine website, UFO Research Cincinnati. Was taking a look around there today. Very tasty. He's a writer, artist, musician, and photographer, educated at Southern Ohio College. He specializes in film, in audio and video production, a former PR director of the Tri-States Advocates for Scientific Knowledge. His research interest in the UFO topic, well, he's a reporter and public speaker. He's had articles published in the Unopened Files magazine and the Nexus magazine. And his investigations have been featured on the Sightings television series and the NBC two-hour special last year, Confirmation. And reports on his work are carried by Associated Press. He's been a featured guest on many radio programs, including Coast to Coast, Sightings on the Radio in the SciZone, and featured locally in newscasts and articles on TV and radio down there in Ohio. Joining us on the phone from his home in Cincinnati, Ohio, is UFO researcher and investigator Kenny Young. Kenny, good evening.
Good evening, Errol Woods. My privilege to talk to you and to be on your show in your 100th program tonight.
Well, I'm happy that you finally made it for the 100th. I know that, you know, I've been after you for a long time on the phone and by email to come on our program, but unfortunately you were working Sunday nights and you had a work conflict with my work night, or our work night here on Strange Days Indeed, so it's good that you finally made it here.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and let me set the record straight here just a little bit. I'm actually a resident of Florence, Kentucky, which is just across the river from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh.
So I might say I live in Cincinnati and get away with it, but actually I'm across the river, so to speak.
Well, I just assumed because it was the UFO Cincinnati Research.
Well, when I moved, I just never bothered to change the name of the website, I guess.
Well, and who would know unless you went on the radio and told 80,000 people.
You know,
Kenny, I've been aware of you for several years now, thanks to your excellent work in UFO research. And the first question often asked of guests on Strange Days Indeed is, what first got you interested in the UFO phenomena?
Well, Errol, I've been really fascinated by this intriguing subject probably since I was a small child. My first recall of taking interest in this subject was the UFO wave of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
I was a first grader, and there was UFOs literally sighted all around where I live. I'm sure you're familiar with the wave of 73.
Right.
A neighbor across the street came running over to our house in tears, saying that a UFO was sighted in her backyard. She said a big blue diamond. And I can recall being outside playing with my little Hot Wheel toys, only a first grader at the time, and how traumatic this incident was. Mm-hmm. And I was outside during this whole event. I saw nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw nothing whatsoever. So that was something that stuck with me. And you know, of course, I went on to read the literature, to start delving into UFO books, just picking one up from the school library. Mm-hmm. I would read Philip Klass's books, numerous books, to really further my interest. And probably around 1993, there was a controversial sighting here in the Cincinnati area of a UFO that was sighted over the Lebanon Correctional Institute.
Uh-huh.
It was in all the papers. It was on television. So that is something that kind of piqued my interest enough to where I started involving myself in researching the topic. And I really became involved in investigations with a videotape that was taken in 1994 in Claremont County, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Being involved in television production and so forth, in public access here in this area, I was kind of fortunate to be on hand when a videotape came our direction that was taken by a resident of Owensville, Ohio, that this person claimed was an unidentified flying object. So in analysis of that video, interviewing the witness, I put together a news segment on the Claremont County recording, is what we call it. And then from that point, I just went on to make other inquiries on other cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy the topic. It's really fascinating. It's nonstop controversy.
And by the look of your website, almost nonstop sightings in your area. And that's a slight exaggeration, but it's like every month there's one or two.
Well, that's something I never could figure out. The area around here, it's southern Ohio I'm concentrated in,
mm-hmm.
Northern Kentucky. We do seem to have a goodly deal of activity, I suppose you could say, from this area, you know, contrasting that with other parts of the country. Ohio is not really represented well when you look at the national statistics of, you know, like California always is reported as the top UFO sighting location. But actually, I think Ohio is one of these little secrets we have here, because there's a lot of activity that goes on here, and a lot of it I think is very credible. Cases that involve people who report sightings to police offices.
Mm-hmm.
And if the listener would take the time to review some of the reports that I collect on the internet and I post on the internet,
mm-hmm.
they'll see a good majority of these are sightings that are reported to police offices.
I think that most of your fellow researchers would agree that the most intriguing case that you've been involved with was the 1994 Trumbull County police UFO chase.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case that was featured in a two-hour NBC special on UFOs last year, huh?
Right. That case, I think, provides evidence of the reality of a situation that's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
It does not establish any sort of catalyst behind the situation, such as it doesn't answer any questions as to where they're from. It simply demonstrates that there is a situation taking place in our skies. It does demonstrate the physical reality of a reported scenario involving unidentified flying objects.
In a world in which science is fairly skeptical about UFOs, citing lack of evidence, it seems to me that you managed to dig up some pretty interesting data during the course of your investigation of the Trumbull County sightings.
Right. When I kind of blundered upon the Trumbull County situation back in 1996, and I did so by accident,
mm-hmm.
I placed a telephone call to a wrong phone number. In fact, I was initially researching an old case of Leonard Stringfield, a UFO researcher also from the Cincinnati area,
right.
Passed away, I believe, in 95.
Mm-hmm.
But I was researching an old case of his which mentioned a Liberty Police Department. So and trying to get the number for the Liberty Police Department that was basically a UFO sighting. I asked directory assistance for the Liberty Police Department. I was put in touch with the Liberty Township Police Department, which is actually a different location altogether in northern Ohio. So when I was put through to the department, I began asking about the UFO sighting, and everybody there knew about it right away, which was, you know, not even the case I was initially concerned with. So they went on to give me this really remarkable story of a major incident, a flat-out disturbance that shook the whole township there, the area where this happened, back in 1994. Well, this was 96. I'd never heard of this story before, and for that matter, as far as I know, no other researcher had either at the time.
No, I hadn't heard or read anything about it before, prior to your getting involved.
There was an interesting case that happened in Michigan involving those FAA tower operators, I believe it was, and maybe a weather observer, and that was something that was in the same time frame as far as 94, I think, and that's the one that I think was very well known because it received some media attention. This situation, however, never was given any media attention. And at the 96 phase of the investigation, when I came upon the story, I could not acquire the tape simply because I lacked the date of event. I could not find out when this happened, so without that information, it was impossible for me to get the tapes. It wasn't until 98, 2 years after the initial phase of my investigation, where I was out of the blue contacted by a gentleman who works at the dispatch office in Trumbull County, Ohio, which is in northern Ohio, by the way, northeastern Ohio.
Okay.
This gentleman informed me, he said, I saw your report on the internet about Trumbull County. And he said, I was fascinated by this. He said, I simply could not believe this was true, that this happened in my county where I'm a dispatcher. I've never heard of this before. So reading the information, he felt compelled that there was really some grain of truth behind it, and he conducted his own investigation strictly as a private citizen in no official capacity. And he turned up a couple of leads that led him to a date of this event. And then he sat down one Saturday in the control center and reviewed some tapes, and he started coming across this stuff that as it happened. He sent me a note that said he was just blown away by this when he started hearing these tapes. And so I kept my eyes on the mailbox for a few days. He said, watch the mail. He said, I'm going to send you a copy. So then when I sat down and listened, it's exactly as I expected, but I was still profoundly blown away by the drama that we hear on these tapes. So if you're ready, Errol, I'll let the drama unfold here.
Okay.
And I'll just hold my phone down to the speaker. I hope it sounds good.
Okay. And Graham out there in the control room, a tape coming down the phone line at us.
All righty.
County Dispatch, may I help you?
Yeah, did you get any reports or any object in the air about 15 minutes ago?
You know, somebody called in, but I really don't know what that would be.
It was very strange.
Okay.
It looked like a back end of like one of them fighter planes, you know, like a plane coming out the back.
Okay. Was it just like moving at a slow rate of speed?
It wasn't a slow rate, it was a fast rate, but it was coming down.
It was coming down?
Yeah.
Like straight down or at an angle?
Like an angle.
At an angle?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it wasn't really breaking, you know, in the back.
Okay.
Please.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll check with Air Base in Vienna and see if they have any report of anything in the area.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye. 996, we have a report by CC, actually two calls in of a vehicle in the sky, unknown object above Sampson Drive. Have you noticed anything?
What's the location?
Area of Sampson Drive.
North or south?
Sir, he just advised in the air, in the sky. He didn't advise direction.
998.
Not at any time.
Did it give you a description of the object?
Public service, sir. I'll give you further.
Okay.
What we just heard was a citizen advisement to a police office of a reported unidentified flying object.
Right.
So it's important to stress that, because later on in the debate about this issue, we're going to need to evaluate that again. So we're getting citizen reports to officialdom of a reported unidentified flying object. So at this point, the dispatcher, I believe, is going to place a call to what sounds like perhaps a supervisor.
Okay.
And maybe wakes up the gentleman to inform him about this. And you can also note her attitude about the situation, which is quite humorous. Here we go.
Hattie Dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Come on, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Do you want me to call the air base and see if there's anything in the area?
We'll take a look.
I swear to God. You want to hear the call?
Come on, dear, close
you. You want to hear the call? Wait a minute, I'm going to hear the call. Do you think I'm lying?
I believe you.
No, I swear to God, listen.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Listen to this one.
What's that?
Hey, I'm not going to find one object.
I'm stroking the hell out of this guy. Was it moving in slower than his speed? Did it dip directly down? I'm going to start a freaking panic.
Jeez.
You guys got freaking UFOs over there?
Yeah, ask them if they got any foxes in town.
Huh?
Ask them if Spock is in town.
If Doc is in town?
Spock.
Spock? Oh, you mean like Generation Star Trek thing? Smart ass. I'll tell them they're forming the sequel. They're filming the sequel right here in Liberty. Okay.
All right.
Can you let me know? Oh, shit, if you get abducted, who am I going to call? OSB?
Toby
up in here. Don't beam Toby up. They spit his ass so fast out of that friggin' machine. I swear to God, this is our 4th or 5th call on it.
All right,
bye-bye. We've had 4 different calls, and this particular one came over Sampson.
Okay, different areas on Sampson itself.
Yes, they just said in the sky. That's all we have, in the sky.
Okay. Only out in the area.
Out in the area, checking for an object in the sky. Copy at 30 after.
Can I help you?
Yeah, dear. This is Stacy from 33. This is going to sound really dumb. I hear Liberty Police are in an area that I got a call about a little bit ago. A woman called, claimed she saw something in the sky.
Yeah, you called me a little while ago.
Okay. I hear they're out there, and they've got another call.
Yeah, we finally got one on it somewhere.
What the woman told me was on Sampson Drive, like midway in the block, there's a vacant lot or something.
I don't know. Hold on. I'll let you talk to the Liberty Dispatcher.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, dear. This is Stacy from 33.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
I got one of your...
Did you really?
This woman was almost...
Sorry.
She saw something. She told me that the area was like Sampson Drive. There's a vacant field midway through the block.
They're telling me this too, but I mean it's probably some weather balloon or something. You know what I mean? They're checking the area, but I really, these UFO calls are getting out of hand.
I don't know
what it is. If it was, what the hell did they come to Liberty for? There's no intelligent life in Liberty. Come on now. We're telling everybody they're doing a sequel to this, what's that new Star Trek movie? Generation show.
Blue is green, no noise.
No noise.
It was low flying and took off.
Oh, come on.
Fifth Avenue.
Are you serious? It's driving up Fifth Avenue Extension. Now, oh, Christ.
Not that. Are you flying? It came down and just zooped over it with a big, glowing object.
Well, we got four calls on it. The last guy said it was a fighter plane. So you tell me that I would do a big news story on the water in Liberty and the effects on the people, because these people are clearly afflicted. But I appreciate the tip. I'll let them know some more on it. I dispatched it because God only knows my lucky would land here, abduct some people, and I would be in trouble for dispatching.
I was impressed because I heard the way you dispatched it, and I said she's trying real hard not to break.
And I'm working with the biggest jokers on the force tonight, so it's real hard not to.
Lucky.
Well, if we do run into a UFO, I swear I will call you personally.
Okay?
We'll give you an exclusive. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
What we just heard was the reporter Stacy Adger from a Youngstown, Ohio television station, Channel 33.
Mm-hmm.
So this demonstrates for us that the media was privy to the story as it was transpiring.
And yet you didn't hear anything about it for 2 years.
Well, nobody did, because the story was never given to the public for consideration.
Mm.
It was simply dropped. So do we have time to continue, or should we take a break at this time?
Graham, how are we doing? We can continue? Okay, we'll go on, Kenny, if you will, please.
All righty.
County Dispatch.
It's Liberty Police.
Army?
Am I calling the Liberty Police?
What you need, ma'am?
I wonder, did you have anyone call you about a strange plane or airplane or something in the air?
Yeah, they're checking it out.
Yeah, I just saw it on Sampson Road.
Where?
On Sampson Drive.
Okay.
It was coming down Sampson Drive. It was almost, it looked like it was, I don't know what it was, if it was a flying saucer or what it was. It wasn't an airplane. It was not an airplane, and it was down awfully low.
Are you the same lady that called Channel 33?
No.
Okay. All right.
You must have had calls, other calls that were done.
Yeah, not many, a couple.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
What did it look like, ma'am?
It was like almost like an iridescent color. It was like a bluish purple. You know, it was like a long streak. You know, like it almost was like it had fire coming out of the back of it.
Okay.
You know, maybe it was, I don't know what it could have been, if it was I know it wasn't an airplane.
Okay, ma'am, I'll let them know.
All right,
ma.
This is the segment where the police is dispatched into the area, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to exchange correspondence with the dispatch office about the situation.
Okay. From Trumbull County, Ohio.
998 radio.
998 good.
Yeah, CC spot me, said it appeared to be hovering about 50 feet off the ground, heading towards Sodom Hutchins. I'm going to be checking that area. Supposed to be a large object with a lot of lights on it.
Sir, I have another report at Sampson Drive, and also we've been advised by a caller to the media. Media informed us it was a red, it was a blue-green object hovering, no noise. It was in the area of Fifth Avenue Extension.
I'll go that. That Fifth Avenue Extension just came in?
This is just in now. And then it gets.
I see some lights. It's over one block from me. I'm going to try to get over there. I got to go down the street here. It's a large object, whatever it is.
996, are you in the area? Yeah. 925, do you want to head over to that area?
Copy.
Repeat your traffic.
Copy, I'm going to. I just got a glimpse of it. it. I could see, I'm on Sampson right now. I could see it heading by Fifth Avenue on the other side. I could see some lights up in that area. All right. 925 and 998. Should I set my phaser for stun? Yeah, go ahead and do that.
Interesting how the dispatcher's attitude has changed, and she's a little more serious about it now as the police are reporting that this thing is pretty darn large.
Exactly. And also the officers involved, their attitude swiftly changed very, very shortly.
Yeah.
If your listeners happened to catch the confirmation special on NBC last year, they would have seen the part where the police officer it goes into the neighborhood and a massive light comes down from the sky, shuts his patrol car down.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out of the car and he puts his hands to his eyes to try to peer up into there. That was a dramatized version of what actually transpired between the part that we heard last and what we're going to hear now. So at this time, he has advised the dispatch office of a red pulsating light that he says was gigantic. The dispatcher at the 911 center is going to now attempt to contact an FAA tower operator at the Youngstown Warren Regional Airport there in Trumbull County, Ohio. So at this time, we'll pick it up from there.
Okay, Kenny.
Yes, sir. This is Ryan from Liberty Township Police Department in Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
We have reported some flying object in our jurisdiction, in our area, above the Sampson Drive, Fifth Avenue extension area. I could not give you any kind of traffic, you know, direction that would help you know that area. Do you know of anything that should be in our airspace this time, close to the ground?
Right
this
now,
is not a prank phone call, I swear. You can call me back to verify.
Look at the radar scope, and I go 60 mile diameter of Youngstown, and there is nothing out there.
Oh, shit.
Not even anything up high.
We've got five accounts, five calls in on this.
Yeah.
Something's flying in our area, and it's low to the ground. Would you be able to monitor, like, a Cessna or something with a light on it?
Well, I don't know if it was, do you mean visibly?
No, with the radar.
With the radar, it sets on how high it is and where they are. You know, if it's low radar coverage, so there isn't any.
Okay, now I get a text to go there and tell them something, and I don't want to say you couldn't find anything. Is there any, like, clause I might use that it might be, like, your personal aircraft or something that might be used at night or something?
Could be, you know, it just could be anything. Any kind of helicopter traffic or anything down low, they don't have any kind of requirements to
unless
they're coming into the airport here.
Okay, so you have no communications with helicopters. It could be something like that.
Yeah, it could be a helicopter.
Okay.
Yeah, the helicopter's particularly flying low.
All right, I'm buying this 100%. But
are you, is that location anywhere near a hospital?
We are close to a hospital, but the location is away from, as low as they said it was to the ground, it would be approximately 5 miles away from the hospital.
Yeah.
We're closer to, that end of town is closer, like, out towards the Vienna line, Vienna Air Base area, and that's what I thought maybe it was related to.
Yeah, we haven't had anything go on, nothing come from that direction.
Okay. Then I'm going to
Okay, just go out here northbound, climbed up high, and nothing's going on around here.
Okay, I am going to advise you of this. You could take it and file it in your G and in your garbage can if you want to. We've got accounts of this. Hold on 1 second for me.
Denver County Police Dispatcher.
Okay, I've got 4 to 6 calls. Hold on 1 second.
Tapes covering a UFO incident in 1994.
Okay, at this time, I've had 4 to 6 calls come in about a lit object, blue-green lights, was hovering above the area of Sampson Drive and Fifth Avenue. The object was low to the ground, did not make any noise, hovered there for some time, and then continued moving down the Fifth Avenue extension road. My unit was out. He caught something he thought was red. Somebody described it as the end of a fighter pilot plane. I don't know what the hell kind of lines of continuum they're drawing here. I don't see any, but this is what I was advised of, so I wanted to call.
Okay, well, yeah, if I was downstairs in the radar room, I would have a finder with some phone numbers. We have some 800 numbers as far as identified flying object reports and things like that. If you wish, you can call during business hours tomorrow.
Like I said, I don't know.
I don't see anything out there, nothing on the radar scope. I haven't seen anything, and we don't really do anything with the information.
Okay, I thought I'd pass along in case somebody was maybe flying without permission, night flying or something like that. I didn't know what was going on, but as long as I've done my job along, and I don't want to sound like a crackpot, but that's what we've got in so far.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That segment we just heard is really interesting, and I think it's good discussion material there.
Yes.
What we seem to hear is a very disinterested FAA tower controller.
Mm-hmm.
And I often like to speculate that had that been me in the tower working that position, I would have been dreadfully curious for details.
Yeah, he was very noncommittal about it all.
And I did try through various means, including even a Freedom of Information Act request,
mm-hmm.
to that facility. I tried to locate or identify this gentleman who we heard.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. I mean, there's just simply dead ends everywhere in trying to do this. This air base in question, it's a joint facility. It's partly civilian airport. The other part is military. So it's one controller on duty during the night. And we're going to hear more from this gentleman later as the drama progresses here. But if we could recall very briefly, he said initially he said he had nothing on radar.
Right.
And then he ventured the question to the dispatcher, are you near a hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason perhaps that he was offering that question was to candidly maybe suggest this could be a life flight helicopter. Now, my question is, if he was going to suggest this, why couldn't he see this on his radar, and why did he even ask?
I think that there are experts who would say that the radar only comes down to a certain level.
Well, I've heard that also, but we did a program here in Cincinnati called UFO Update Live. The producer was Bob Leibold.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, we interviewed a gentleman. He's an air tower controller at the Greater Cincinnati International Airport. He was describing radar and some of its features, and most radar, according to this gentleman, can go down so low that they even pick up truck traffic off of the interstate.
Oh, really?
So now we have to keep this in mind when mm-hmm. we're dealing with these, with the scenarios here. They can go down low. It's not necessarily a situation where there's a blind area, necessarily. Now, I guess circumstances could, maybe dictate if trees are in the way or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, we're still speculating. He offers the suggestion, it seems to be, of this could be a helicopter maybe, but then he, at the same time, says he has nothing on radar.
And then he offers up some 800 numbers for to call UFO researchers and make a report.
Let me just set the stage for this sequence. After
okay.
we hear a little bit of a police traffic on the radio, we're going to hear, I think, a conversation. And this was something that was recorded on the multi-track tapes. It records different channels of information
mm-hmm.
on a tape, and the gentleman who produced the tape arranged it so that we could hear various channels. So we're going to hear a little bit here from the point where the police officer is reflecting upon what happened. Here we go.
998 radio.
998,
sir, I'm going to quit. I don't see anything right now. What I saw, I have no idea what I saw. It just might have been just a light up in the sky. I don't know. Be in service.
Copy.
925,
good.
You may want to advise the surrounding jurisdiction to stop and interrogate if they come across that.
Copy. Dispatch. Is that a Hutchins Road and Sampson Drive out in Liberty?
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if I heard on the scanner where they were looking for that big blue.
Right, ma'am.
Yeah, did they find anything yet?
Not yet. The dispatcher for Liberty Township right now, she's speaking with the air base to see if they have possibly something in the area at this time.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I heard on the scanner. I thought it was running flying saucers since it wasn't very far from the ground.
Well, that's why she contacted them in case it was
a balloon or something. Is the news media in on that?
I beg your pardon?
Did they call the news on that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought I heard in the scanner that they did. But they think it might be from the air base.
Right. As I said, the Liberty Dispatch is on the phone right now speaking with the air base.
And they think that's where it's from.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, ma'am. Bye-bye.
We've contacted the FAA administration, and they've advised nothing on the radar scope in a 60-mile radius of Youngstown. They did advise they have no communication with any helicopters or any private-owned vehicles, air vehicles.
They're not aware of anything then, right?
Negative. He checked the radar and advised negative. Nothing on radar within 60-mile radius of the Youngstown area. Again, he did verify they have no contact with any helicopter or private-owned vehicles that might be in the area. We are continually getting calls on this, so. Still Sampson Fifth Avenue.
We're right there. I don't see anything up in the air now. How long ago did these calls come in?
This just in within two.
This is air radio. It's only visible to certain people. People with scanners. 98th radio.
Good.
If you get any more calls, try to get an address. I'd like to speak to the people making the call, please.
Copy.
998 radio.
998, good.
I'll be out of service for a few minutes. I have to gather my thoughts.
Happy gathering, 58.
That was a interesting segment, if you can read between the lines of the radio traffic there.
Yes.
Officer was clearly shaken.
Yep.
This is a gentleman I did speak with during the 96th phase of the investigation, and I got from him the first indications of what a really big story this was. His description of it was of a massive object, a light, that he said was virtually at treetop level. He said people were all over the place watching this thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same gentleman whose patrol cruiser was shut down by the object. The electrical instrumentation was shut down, and the car restarted after the object ascended back up into the sky. But en route to the scene of the disturbance, and you heard briefly a little while ago, he referenced partially the account. He encountered an elderly gentleman who he said was he seemed to be wandering, dazed and lost in the middle of the roadway. If a person that might have seen the confirmation special, you might recall this. This was briefly shown where a gentleman was walking his dog. But the officer said, I regret now not getting the name of this person. But he approached the officer and said, this thing was right above my house. And he said that kind of made an impact on him as he headed to the scene, just knowing that there was possibly something going on here.
At the end of that segment that you just played, the car, I think it was Unit 58, who said that he was going to take a break and try and compose himself.
To gather his thoughts, right.
Gather his thoughts.
And the dispatcher responded, copy, gathering.
Yeah. Unit 58 was the one that was stalled.
Officer Malero is his name, Toby Malero. He was gracious enough to be interviewed for national television during the confirmation special. And that took a lot of courage to do that.
Yes, indeed.
A number of other officers also went on camera with their version of the story.
And I keep saying this, that we live in a world which science remains fairly skeptical about UFOs, citing lack of evidence. But these tapes that you're playing, these recordings from the Trumbull County Police System, are really remarkable evidence.
Well, it constitutes disclosure of what we don't know, but we do know that there was a situation in progress that demonstrates the reality of unidentified flying object situation that did take place in 1994. If we have time, I don't know how we're doing on time here.
We're fine. We've got until we've got at least another 40 odd minutes to go before the end of the program.
Well, let me just get into another segment.
Okay.
And we'll just take it from there.
Good night, Ethan.
Yeah, I'm okay now. I'll be back in service.
59.
I'll also be in service. They deserve disarmament this time.
Okay, your time to your accident. 23:20.
Came over my house, right? I said, are you serious? Yeah, right? Then you tell me you got a report of it on Fifth Avenue Extension, right?
Yeah.
I'm right by Patty Metzinger's house, and I look towards Fifth Avenue Extension.
Uh-huh.
I could see a red glow up in the sky. It was huge. It was like huge.
See, but they're telling me blue-green, because the media called. This woman was crying hysterically. She's like, oh, my God. And she's screaming, and they're like, oh, God. And they call me. And I'm laughing it off, because I can't, I'm not going to cause a panic.
We got to be on dope or something. I see this red.
No, because Toby, I swear to God, we got 7 to 8 calls on this UFO.
We're doing, they're scanning us.
No, I'm telling you what, they were coming in at the same time. They were coming at the same time.
Well, anyway, I see this.
And the county thought of us, but they went to another channel to do it because they didn't want to be on their main.
Well, with me, I saw this big red. It was glowing in the sky.
Well, that's what the guy said. He said it looked like fighter pilot lights in the back of the tail of a bomber.
Yeah, that's what it looked
like. And I said, well, maybe it's a weather balloon. Well, I called up, and Toby, I swear to you, I was laughing it off, and I thought, well, he's going to say weather balloon or something. But he says, no, I don't. He says, we have nothing. He says, we have, and he's trying to give me numbers to report it, and I'm saying, no. I don't want any numbers. He's going, well, he goes, I don't have anything at a 16-mile radius of Youngstown. He goes, I'm looking at the radar right now.
Well, this thing wasn't more than about 50 feet off the ground.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, this is low to the ground. I said, you might not pick it up. I said, he goes, well, maybe it's a helicopter. I said, well, I heard from 4 people. Something that low to the ground would be making a hell of a noise.
This thing wasn't making no noise.
I know.
Because I rolled down, when I saw the glow, rolled down my window. I didn't hear a sound. The only sound I heard was my car.
Well, was it moving or was it just...
Yeah, it was glowing. It was moving. You could see it like up in the air, glowing and getting further away from me. That's why I had to go all the way down Overbrook and cut over to get on Fifth Avenue. As soon as I turned off Fifth Avenue, I didn't see it.
Did Bob see it?
No.
Did Steve see it?
No. I'm the only one that saw it.
There was about 10 other people in Liberty who were just swearing up and down. They saw a UFO. Oh, they'll have a ball in it, because, they called already.
What did they say? Did you guys locate anything?
Yeah, well, they're like, the people are serious. They're very upset. And I'm like, well, it's got to be a weather balloon or something. And I knew it wasn't a weather balloon, because they, FAA would know about it.
Frosty said it was green and blue lights.
Green, well, no. The media said it was green and blue lights. I had a man who said it's other. He said, the thing is, it's got huge and it doesn't make any noise.
That's what I saw.
And I said, could it be like a weather balloon? He goes, no. He goes, these lights are incredibly bright. And he goes, this thing's just hovering. It's not moving. And I said, well, maybe it's a private plane or something.
This thing, whatever it was, lit up, you could stand, if you were underneath it, you could see it would be like daylight, but red light.
Well, I logged it. I know this is coming back up. I know everybody and their brother's going to be calling tomorrow. And I'm like, I logged it.
Did I saw it? Oh, my God.
No, I didn't log you saw it.
They're going to be calling.
But they'll be pulling that tape. We're all going to get our asses shook. You watch, federal government will come out here. here and go, okay, we're going, oh, little green men, Santa Claus, flying Christmas tree, all this shit on the channel. We're all going to get our asses in a grinder. Maybe that one. So, I don't know. If it was a UFO, it's logged, you know. But, I mean, you saw it. If you saw it.
Well,
what did you think it was?
Huh?
What did you really think it was?
I don't know. I didn't hear me. I came across it. So whatever it is, it's big.
But you know what? I know you play. You know what I mean? I know you joke around. That's what I said.
I wasn't joking. I was not joking.
For a minute, it didn't sound like you were. I mean, you were laughing, and then all of a sudden, you weren't laughing. And I thought, well, maybe he's trying to make me, like, think there's really this UFO there. And I was like, oh.
No, I wasn't joking. I saw the light. I saw a large red light. A pulse light.
Hold on one second. Howling guy, I think I'm a UFO expert. He wants to talk to me. You want me to let you go?
Yeah, all right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, sweetheart. Take care. Bye-bye.
It was very obvious that the woman, the female dispatcher, really expected the press to descend on them the next day, and yet they didn't.
The officer also did. In fact, if we caught that one part, he said something like, oh, no, they're going to come after me,
right,
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing of the sort, as we know now, ever took place.
Mm.
No attention was afforded to this issue.
Any idea why there was no attention paid to it?
Well, it's just perhaps
speculation.
General apathy to the subject, perhaps. The issue was unceremoniously dropped. We do know, and let's name her name here, Stacy Adger with the Youngstown, Ohio Channel 33.
Mm-hmm.
She knew the story was going on. She had a scanner. She had received calls, so she heard the chase. Your explanation is as good as mine there. I just think it's just general laziness myself as to why the situation was never pursued. I don't see anything conspiratorial, except if you want to say laziness is conspiratorial, perhaps that's our answer.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, not being able to track down the radar operator at the airport, which you played earlier on, and him just not being interested in any of this stuff, despite the fact that it was a police dispatcher who was asking him questions.
Right. And we're going to hear in this upcoming segment a little more from the radar operator. And at this time, I'll start the tape where the incident's really just beginning to take off here.
County Dispatch, may I help you?
Yeah, this is Howland 433.
Hey, 433.
How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good.
Liberty was spotting earlier.
Oh, cut it out.
No, I'm serious. We've been watching it for about 10 minutes now.
Your ass.
No, I'm serious.
Man.
Go straight out your door.
Hold on, Rick.
I'm on Henhide.
Where is it at?
I'm on Henhide, okay?
Come get me. I want to go see this. Is it outside? Can I, like, see it from here?
Well, you'll see it.
Here.
I can't believe
plug
it.
Plug into me. All right, I'm going to go out and look at it now.
All right, if you're up high enough, it's straight east of you.
It's east of me?
Straight east of you. Look straight up.
Which way do I go when I, okay, I'm up.
You know where Kane Drive is across from the hospital?
So, plug in for me. I'm going to go out. Liberty, get Howlin' Liberty. I'm going to run out. Stay on the phone.
Okay.
Okay, I'm coming back. I'll tell you if I see it.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Mikey, do you got a copy or see it? Yeah, that thing has not moved in 10 minutes that I've been watching it. Come up on Henhide and start south off of King's Grave if you're on Henhide. Come on down, you'll see me park. I've been watching this thing through my binoculars. I can't quite make it out. It changes colors from white to red to green. You know, those are colors of planes, but this sucker has not moved. It hasn't gone any direction since I've been watching it. It's a good 10 minutes.
It's an alien.
Yeah, it's an alien, all right.
Prove it.
Hello.
She went outside. She was back in that.
Okay. I couldn't believe it. I was just putting by my house, and I looked over, you know, laughingly thinking, because we had one 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And I looked over, and I said, oh, here's a plane coming in to land, you know, because I'm used to seeing those. This thing has not moved in 10 minutes.
Huh.
And it's too bright and too low, and it changes colors to be a star.
It's an alien that came down to steal all our Christmas presents.
Yeah, I wish. Hang on.
It's Santa Claus.
Go ahead, 429. You see my car down on Henhide, about half to a quarter of a mile, somewhere in there, down from King's Grave.
Okay,
Roger. You got a pretty good view out here on King's Graves. And a little bit further.
Okay, you see it? I mean, I got a perfect view where I'm at. I just can't quite make it out through my binoculars.
I got me my headset.
Can you go to 14?
Right, I'm on public service too, so hang on, I'm trying to juggle mics. Okay, I'm on 14. You got a copy?
Yeah, looks like I'm getting pretty close here, but I can't really judge how far out it is, you know?
Oh, I've been stationary since I called you. Now, however long it took you to come from over on the west side, that bugger has not moved.
Yeah, well, I'm going over 11 right now, and it looks like I'm starting to maybe get next to it here.
Still out a good way. See it? No, see it down over here just above the trees. Yeah. Okay, has it moved any? It looked like it might have flickered a little in that because it's moving slightly.
It's moving I would think the airbase could get a pretty good eye on it.
Okay, Mikey's up here with me now. He's looking through the binocs. It looks like it might have moved just slightly because it moved from one side of a tree to another. But it's still visible right here where we're at.
Over around 11.
You say you're at Ridge at the airbase? Okay, it should be south of you, right?
Yeah, so.
Look like it's doing circles, Tina.
Yeah.
But
this is moving. What area is it in?
Huh?
What area?
Hang on one sec. Davey. So what area do you think it's in now? Hang on a minute. Okay, where you're at and where I'm at, I'm about half a mile south of King's Grave on Henhide.
Henhide, half a mile south of King's Grave.
It's still a little bit south of me, so where are you at as far as on Ridge Road?
Did you guys have to take pee tests at all, Howard? Because we went outside, we didn't see anything. We were all on Henhide. We didn't see it.
Okay, well, we're on Henhide north of Kane. Okay, there's a brand new house under construction, and we're watching it right through the empty field.
You're seeing it through the field?
Yeah, we're seeing all our cars.
How big is it? What color is it? Because I got three different colors.
It ranges from like a whitish red to pulsating greenish lavender.
Did you see any red? It was a whole red light. He said it looked like.
Well, from the distance, I mean, I can't tell. My binoculars are a cheap set of binoculars. I thought I saw some red. Let me check with Dave from his angle. Do you see red and green on it? Hey, Dave, from your angle,
I'll call the airport.
See a pulsating red and green?
I'm telling you, we went outside, we didn't see anything.
Yeah, what?
I'm calling the airbase again.
Okay.
Hold on, just stay on the line.
I'd gladly come down, pick you up in the car, and bring you
I want to see it. Come get me.
All right.
Come get me.
Right.
I'll be outside.
Right. Okay.
All right. I need a break. He's going to take me to see it. I don't believe this.
Graham, we have time to continue? Yeah, Graham Elliott says we have time to continue out there in the control room.
Okay, I believe this next segment's when they're going to try once again to contact the FAA tower operator. Here we go.
Okay.
Where's the number I had before? Here it is. Yes, sir. This is Rain again from the center here in the 911 center. I called you about Liberty Township.
Yes, ma'am.
The darn thing is in Howland Township now, and it's hovering over a site. Did you show anything at all on your radar screen in the Warren area?
In Howland Township.
Howland Township.
That's hovering where?
Hovering over a Henhide in Howland Township, about 5 minutes here from the center. They're seeing this. They're watching this thing. It goes 50 feet from the ground. There's blue and green light. Some people say they see a red holding light. Hovers about 50 feet from the ground with no noise. We've had this all night.
Looking to the west. Yeah, I don't see anything. I'm 70 feet in the air.
I'm going about to look for this right now. My unit's coming out here. Tell me when he's out here.
Okay, let me get a pair of binoculars. Let me call
Can you check that? Let me give you a number to contact, 675-2549.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
I'm going to look at it now myself.
All right.
Bye.
When I spoke with the officers during the 96th phase of the investigation, I spoke with several of them, and I kind of received a collective bafflement from all of them that the tower operator could not see this. They said at his elevation at 70 foot off the ground that he should have seen this object.
Yeah, he should have been looking down at it from the sounds of it.
Sure, and even more so as the pursuit, we call it, continues on the tape, which we won't have time to hear all of. But as the pursuit continues on, they actually, one officer goes to this airbase. He pulls up to the gate out front, and he gets out of the gate, and he talks with the guard at the guard shack, and he points to this object, and they said, do you know what this is? And he says, no, I don't know what it is.
So the guard could actually see the object that the guy 70 feet up in a control tower could not.
Go figure. I mean, you know, what can you say about that?
We have probably about 7 or 8 minutes left.
Okay. All righty. Well, time is our enemy here.
Indeed.
So we're going to delete a major portion of the tape just so we can get the last segment in here.
Okay.
What we're going to skip over is a segment we call the police pursuit, which is really hard to listen to just as something to sit back and enjoy because it contains heavy radio traffic, a lot of noise, a lot of static. But during this course of the tape, we hear many officers converge upon this object from different positions. They triangulate its position in the area, which rules out a lot of astronomical
phenomena, Venus.
Possibilities.
Yes.
So a lot of the skeptic bunkers that try to attack this case, they kind of like to ignore that, you know.
Mm.
But we also hear one officer observing the object through his binocular. He observes a parachute-like appendage attached to the object.
Mm.
The object assumes a path as it travels on. And again, like I mentioned earlier, there's a segment involving the airbase where an officer, out of frustration, goes to the airbase.
Right.
And then at that point, he encounters a security officer there.
Mm-hmm.
So this last segment is, I believe, a Howland Township police officer talking with a dispatcher on his end. We'll start from there, and hopefully time will allow this segment to be played out. So
okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
See you, Baker.
Yeah.
All right, I talked to these guys. Everything's all right. They're going to go back to where they came from.
Who?
I can see them.
Did you see anything?
I got them right here. I'm looking at them.
What the hell is it?
Hold on a second. I got to turn my lights on before I get rear-ended.
Okay.
Well, I can see them from Warner Road. They're sitting stationary. I got three of them. One is over, well, there, and then there's two kind of close together.
What do they look like?
Well, I'd like to say that they're just like flickering stars, except I've got four discernible colors. I got red, yellow, green, and blue, and the one just was like flashing. So if they're those planets those guys were talking about, then they're planets with Christmas lights on.
You can see them?
I can see them. Not like clear as day. I don't see any wings or anything. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Which is good light.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Hold on a second.
Unreal. What are you doing?
That's what I mean. I mean, I can, without my binoculars, I can see red, yellow, green, and blue.
Okay.
I mean, they're way over there. They got to be way over in Cortland.
No. Did you hear Cortland on the air?
Yeah.
The UFOs will come into Cortland.
I can't believe it.
He's killing me. So you're having an experience?
No, because I can't see. They're so far away. They look like stars.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like teeny.
Well, the first calls we got from Liberty were they were like 50 feet above the ground.
Yeah, well, they could be on their way home.
All right. I think everyone else in this county should go home.
Yeah, I'm about ready to. This is weird. I had a beat on him from on the from the tower, they were close. They got to be going away because they were closer than this. Now I'm looking at them. Oh my God!
What?
And they're not a plane because here goes a plane, and I can see the plane, and the plane is blinking red, and the fact that there's another plane. I think
they're scrambling planes out of SATCOM 1 to go check them out.
Wait a minute.
What?
Oh my God! I hope that's a plane. Oh, Jesus Christ, please be a plane. Oh, please.
What
I ain't ready for this shit. Hold on. Little bitch, where'd you go? At the plane. Oh, thank God. Well, I get nervous when they're coming right at me. There's three planes up there. I'll tell you what, they're flying from the Air Force Base.
Really?
Something's got to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hold on. I'm about to get drilled again.
Where are you?
Right here.
Wait, where are you?
Warner Road, south of Rick. All right, what are we doing with this now, Pete?
Well, I have no idea.
Well, you know what? I can tell it's not in our airspace, so it ain't our call.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That guy sounded most unhappy about this thing flying toward him.
Well, as the event progressed, one thing I neglected to mention there was that multiple objects were seen, and this was not just this one gentleman. Other officers were reporting objects in different parts of the county.
Yeah.
So that complicated the whole situation, which was already, I guess, complicated to start with. But we're left with a lot of questions about this event.
Yes.
I know that after the confirmation special, one thing that interested me was the reaction from certain people that were somewhat skeptical to the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who I suspect maybe had an agenda came out of nowhere and tried to attribute this case to twinkling stars. and when we really evaluate the case data, we can easily discount that because simply to apply that explanation is really disregarding the data of the case.
Yes.
And
is disrespectful to these men in uniform.
Well, of course, I'm willing to acknowledge that mistaken observations happen and happen frequently.
Yes.
But in this case, I think we've got some quality observations that were documented and recorded here on these 911 tapes. And in the process of interviewing a witness, this is really what struck me was during the 96 phase of the investigation when I conducted the interviews with the officers. I talked to one officer who was standing on the road and watching this thing, and I said, "What did it look like?" And they said, "This was nothing more than a massive red rotating saucer, a physical object." And I was trying to poke for flaws in the story or description. Was it just a light? Was it just something you could see through? Was it transparent? No, this was a saucer that rotated as if it were on an axis.
Were you given an idea of the size, an estimate of the size?
Well, the size was something that basically the word massive were used
okay,
to attribute to the object.
Yes.
One thing that interested me was one particular astronomer, James McGahey, came forward on the confirmation special and totally disregarded all this testimony to the contrary. And
I have to say that McGahey, having talked to him, is an idiot.
Well,
you know, for a former Air Force pilot, this man is an idiot.
I won't go that far, but I will say that I did attempt to contact him.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman did not respond to me. I laid out a number of issues that I wanted to discuss with him.
Mm-hmm.
No response. I mailed this to him, and I believe he's in an observatory, Arizona, perhaps. I don't know for sure.
In Arizona, yeah, outside Tucson, apparently.
But this kind of his attitude of non-responsiveness to discussion on this sort of it reminds me of a lot of these politicians we read about in the papers today that will not hold news conferences to address the hard questions. In other words, they can proclaim anything as long as they don't have to answer.
Yes.
Questions about it.
Investigation by proclamation, as Friedman says. Yes.
There you go. So that's what was used in this case. He said this was simply a case of twinkling stars and misidentification of planets. We looked at the constellations or the star charts, mm-hmm. and there was nothing that would have really been outstanding that night that would have caught the eyes of these officers and made them be misled. So he suggested that this was a meteor that came down right at the moment that the officer's car stalled. How likely is that? You know, not very likely, I don't think. So,
Just blindly ignoring the evidence and desperately grasping for a logical explanation.
Well, they almost have to in this case if they're wanting to support an ideology.
Yes.
In which case, I hate to say that some people would do that. But here we're dealing with evidence of an incident that they have to put a spin on were they to have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do that. This gives them, you know, an agenda to fulfill, if you will.
Kenny, we're out of time.
Well, Errol, it's been my pleasure.
It's been our pleasure. This is really remarkable, the tape that you've come up with. And I think you and I need to discuss putting it up out there so that people can go and listen to it any damn time they want to.
Sure thing.
Okay.
Sure thing. And I thank you for having me on the show.
And thank you for being here, Kenny Young. And keep up you're doing amazing work, and keep it up. Thanks, Kenny.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Good night, man. And that's this week's look at Strange Days Indeed. You can get hold of Kenny Young at http://homefuse.net/UFO. You can email us. The address is sdi@cfrb.com. Our thanks to Graham Elliott out there in Master Control. Strange Days Indeed is copyright of and a co-production by W.T. Fit and Random Records. The exec producer is Gene Mascardelli. This here guy is the producer. Join me again next week. I'm Errol Bruce Knapp, and these are Strange Days Indeed on News Talk Radio, CFRB 1010.